It's a big kavod for us to hear some divrei bracha from the Rosh Yeshiva, and after that there'll be a time for question and answer.
Shalom Aleichem. It's wonderful to see so many people here. Baruch Hashem. How many of you are learned in the yeshiva yourselves before? Not too many, huh? Very good. Okay, you'll be answered. The deal is that if your son is smarter than you, you have to work and have him learn Torah. Right? So the question is, why? You have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Why does your son come first? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that when your son learns Torah, you yourself have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because the pasuk says, "Vishinantam levanecho." You're supposed to, the mitzvah to learn Torah yourself is expressed in the Torah in a manner of teaching your son. So when your son learns Torah, you yourself have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore, if your son is smarter and he can accomplish much more in Torah, then you have to go to work and support your son and have him learn Torah, because it's your mitzvah also. You're growing also in Torah. So everyone who has a son learning Torah is himself in the kind of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a gewaltige thing. And coming to the yeshiva is a chizuk for each of you. It's a mechuba l'chaim is chai. Someone is attached to a live person is living. The pasuk says in Keheles. So the same thing is, someone who comes to yeshiva and comes into contact with the yeshiva and hears the sound of a beis medrash, it touches within him a cheshek to learn Torah and for himself to grow. So your coming here is a schus for you yourselves, and the mele will have it, will reflect on your sons, Baz Hashem, and they'll grow in Torah in a year. As you have nachas, all of them, and you should grow yourselves. The best influence a father can have on his son is the influence of serving as a model. I can give all the speeches you want, but if you don't demonstrate what you speak, what you preach about by behaving that way, it doesn't leave an effect on a child. You all know that. So I'm saying that coming here to be mechazik your children's Torah is a reason for each of us here to be mechazik in their own learning Torah and their own siddurim, to make more siddurim in Torah and to grow themselves in Torah. And that's the best way of serving as a model for your children, Bez Hashem. Anyhow, I could just mention you should have nachas from your children. They should grow to be big talmidei chachomim, tzaddikim, good midas. And whatever you want from them, we want from them. And I hope that both of us together, we succeed in producing the proper product. Bez Hashem. Yishev nachas and v'ochem rabu. Okay. I came armed with answers. Do you have questions?
Anyone has questions, we'll walk around with the mic and anyone can ask a question.
What are the biggest threats to Klal Yisrael in the short term and in the long term in the United States and in Eretz Yisrael?
Boy, that's a big question. The biggest threat to Jewish people is assimilation. Conservative and Reform don't have much of a power anymore. They're falling apart, their schools are falling apart, their children are assimilated. One of the most flourishing wedding halls in Baltimore is a former temple. There's no threat anymore from conservative and reform. The threat is within ourselves. Assimilation within ourselves. Assimilation means taking the values of the society around us and making it our own. So it's the value system of the goyim around us that we're bringing into our own selves, into our homes, into our families. That, I think, is the greatest threat that there is. Well, these values, in America, it's the values of materialism, first of all, that the purpose of life is enjoying yourself, having fun, and also the value that everything that matters is rights, individual rights. Right? We're a threat of being assimilated into that culture where everything is rights. And because of rights, we're not ready to be mishabed ourselves, to subordinate ourselves to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're trained by the culture around us that we are the most important things on earth. Man is the purpose of life. Man's freedom, man's accomplishments, man's enjoyment. And therefore, we think of ourselves as the purpose of life. That's the culture around us. And that's the greatest threat that there is to Judaism. Because Judaism says just the opposite. A man is created to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to subordinate himself, to control his Yetzer Hara, to listen to the will of Hashem. And that's the Torah is V'charta b'chaim. You're supposed to choose life by choosing Torah. That's the greatest threat. And that's the greatest threat in Jewry all over the world. In Israel especially. In Israel we have a situation where Judaism, Jewishness, has become identified with Zionism. And Zionism is a philosophy which says we have to be like the goyim. That's the basis of Zionism. We have to accept the values of the goyim. Whatever their values are, we have to be better than them. We have to have the same symphony orchestra, we have to have the same universities, and we have to have the same value and democracy. Everything the goyim do is good, and we have to follow in their footsteps. That's the basis of Zionism. It's an inferiority complex of the Jews of Europe that gave birth to Zionism, and that's the threat of Israel right now. So therefore Israel became, for the most part, a large majority, a secular state. That's another threat. That's the threat of the Jews in Israel. But the threat is to assimilate into the culture of the goyim around us. That's been a threat, not just now. It started with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was evil. He was the other side of the river. He said there's one God, and everyone else said there's idols. What are idols? Idols are not just a worship of God, multiple gods. Idol worship is not just you add the number of gods that you worship. Idol worship is worshiping yourself. Right? Just like it says, Linu, last week's parsha, it says, you wash your feet and come into the house. That's what Avraham said to the Malachi. Wash your feet. So Rashi says, why wash your feet? They used to worship the dust on their feet. They worshiped the ground that supported them. Avodah Zarah is just a way of ensuring your rights. I worship the God of love, so I'll get love. I'll be able to influence people to love me. I worship the God of money, so I'll get money. I worship the God of power, so I'll win wars. Mars, I'll win wars. I worship. That's what Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is self-worship. It's not just a number of gods that you worship. It's self-worship. Avraham Avinu was mechadish that none of these, you don't worship yourself. You worship one God who created the world, who put you here for a purpose, who wants you to carry out his will on this earth. That's what you worship. That's Ivri. That's the direct opposite. Eiver, he goes on the opposite side of the entire world. It started with Avraham Avinu. We're still the same Jew, the same Avraham Ivri, that rejects the culture of our world. And to the extent we don't reject it, we are lacking in our Jewishness. We have to be different from the goyim, that's all. So that's the threat, I think, to our 21st century Jewry in Israel, America, all over the world, is not to permit the values of the world to assimilate into our culture. Okay? Yeah. Next.
Any questions?
Okay, I'm not sure I need the microphone, but Roshiva, a relative of mine who lives in Eretz Israel, who has his children in the army, is having. We have a lot of discussions back and forth about the sheet of the Gedolim, which is against the Yeshiva Bachurim leaving to go in the army. So his question was that during World War II, did the Rosh Yeshivas in America feel the same way about their American Yeshiva Bachurim going into the army?
Yes, during the Second World War. I wasn't old enough, but my older brother had a deferment. The whole yeshiva had what we call a 4D deferment from the army. The Catholics passed through Congress that seminary students are exempt from the army, called the 4D. It was a certain classification. And every bacher had an exemption from the army. There were no yeshiva bacher in the army, very few. Rabbi Kalevsky was drafted into the army. He was a yeshiva here. And why? Because when the board examined him, they asked him, do you want to be a rabbi? He said, no, he just wants to sit and learn his whole lifetime. So they drafted him. Yeah, because the exemption is for seminary students who want to be rabbis. So, but then he took them to court, and he won. He had to walk around in the military uniform for a few weeks until they took him to court, and he was sitting and learning in Torah Vadas. And there's a famous story about a certain Gadol that was in the library of Torah Vadas, who met Rabbi Kalevsky in his uniform and spoke and learning with him. I was so impressed. He says, in America, even the soldiers are big Talmid Chacham. So that's the story. So, but of course there was a deferment. Now, why did the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael say that you shouldn't go to the army? Well, first of all, the army is a place which is not amenable to spiritual growth. There are girls. There's little Shabbos. You're telling your commander what he decides you can be Mechal Shabbos for. They don't have the values that we have of Shabbos. Kashrus is questionable. And it's not a place for a good Jewish boy. But it's in addition, the value system of the army has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. It has nothing to do with the environment. It's not a yeshiva environment. So that's the first thing. 50%, according to the Mizrahi Rosh Yeshivas, 50% of their students come out not religious from the army. 50%. Many remain religious and remain very, very fervently religious and daven and learn. Moshe Nefesh for the Klal, all admiration for them. But 50% don't remain religious. It's too much of a risk to send a person to the army because of that. We're not mechuyev to do that, number one. Number two, what if we win the war? I mean, we hope we win the war, of course. Be'ez Hashem will win the war. So what happens if they win the war? There'll be no Jewish people left. If we close our yeshivas and send everybody to the army, there'll be no Jewish people left. There'll be no connection to the past, no one learned. There'll be just people who were soldiers from 18 to 21 or older, and no one left. What are we fighting for? We have to maintain the Jewish people. Without yeshivas, we don't have a Jewish people. So we're fighting for the survival of the Jewish people just as much by fighting the Hamasnikim as we are when we fight for the Yeshiva Baruch to stay in yeshivas. That's all. So it's really a fight for survival. That's all. That's the situation. Of course, the secular people don't consider it. Survival. They're very happy with what they are. They don't think the Jewish people has anything special. They're not related to Torah. They want the Jewish people to be a nation like all other nations. So what are Jews doing here? What are these guys doing here? Not going to the army, not sharing. It's a very big clash. Caused a lot of anger and a lot of dissension in the people. It's a very, very uncomfortable situation. But because things are uncomfortable, it doesn't mean you have to give up the Jewish people. Because sending everyone to the army would be giving up the Jewish people. That's all. You could say some people should go, 10% should stay in yeshivas. 10% is not enough. We need all the amount. We're a very small minority of the population is in the yeshivas now. We need whoever we can have in yeshivas now because that's the future of the Jewish people. So, okay? Again, I'm not diminishing the value of those who are fighting, especially those who remain frum. There is a big Mesiris Nefesh, and there are many stories about their Mesiris Nefesh and their and there is Nefesh for davening. It's true, but to take everybody and put them into that situation is going to cause a irreparable loss of the Jewish people.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rosh Shiva was saying earlier about Zionism. Is there a distinction between secular and religious Zionism?
Of course there's a difference. I didn't mean secular religious Zionism. I meant secular Zionism. Of course. Religious Zionism, though, thinks that you can come to terms with secular Zionism. That's their mistake. It's a fatal mistake. They've been trying to do that for many years, and because they don't make a distinction between secular Zionism and religious Zionism, their children look at the secular Zionism leaders as their idols, and they become secular after a while. The big dropout in religious Zionism. So it's a mistake, but they mean well. And because they mean well, and they're religious, and they're Shomer Torah mitzvahs, I don't put them into the same category. They're just mistaken, that's all. Yeah.
Rosh Hashiva, yeah. I was wondering, this current war in Eretz Yisrael, would you consider this a Milchemes Reshus or a Milchemes Mitzvah?
My nafkimin and halacha, you mean, is considered gabba what? Can be mechal Shabbos? Yes, it can be mechal Shabbos. Gabba, what is a nafkimin of his mechamas mitzvah, mechamas rishus? Whether everyone is mechuyev to put down his kalim mechuposa and go out and fight? I just told you, I don't think so. It's not that mechamas mitzvah that you have to close yeshivas for. If it would be a mechamas mitzvah, then everyone would have to go and close their gemaras and go out and fight. But it's not a mechamas mitzvah to that extent. But it's certainly a mitzvah. Whoever's fighting is doing a mitzvah.
Yeah. So I was going to ask the Rosh Hashiva about drinking and alcohol in the Frum community.
Yeah.
It seems like it's permeated a lot of the fabric of Frum events. What is the Rosh Hashiva's Eitzah to help combat this and so that it's moderated properly?
I have a foolproof Eitzah for that. Stop drinking. It's a horrible thing. Again, that's a way the culture of the outside world permeated our society. When I was a bacher, I remember I had a friend who got a PhD from Harvard, and his thesis was why there is no alcoholism among religious Jews. That was his thesis. He got his doctorate on it. And his theory was because Jews associate alcohol not with escape, but with service of God, like at Kiddush and Bris Milah. Alcohol is associated with mitzvahs. That's why you don't escape with alcohol. That was his theory. He got a doctorate for that thesis. That doesn't apply anymore. There were no taverns in any religious section, no place that sold alcohol in a Jewish section of the city. There was never a tavern. If you saw a tavern, you knew it's a Goyish section. I don't know if it's that way till this day, I'm not sure. But certainly, that's the infiltration of the Galatian values, the advertisements, that liquor makes you happy, and joy. Again, it's the culture that says the main thing is fun, and alcohol makes you think that every... Gemara says, why is it called tirosh? Because when you drink, everything is yosher veino, there's no problems, it's all gone. So the... You know, alcohol is a way of serving yourself. That's why. So that culture of self-serving, which involves pleasure, good feelings, and the main thing is to feel good, that's what causes alcoholism. If we get rid of the root of the problem, the root is not to let the Goyish culture infiltrate, then it wouldn't be there. There was a song in Europe. Every child knew the song. I knew it when I was a child also. Shikir is a Goy. Shikir is a Goy. That was called. A Goy is a Shikir. No, you don't have that anymore. Shikha is a yid also. Yeah. That's the problem. Okay. Yeah.
One of the challenges of coming from a kehillah where people aren't so familiar with the yeshivish world is you get a lot of questions. Why isn't your son working yet? When's he getting his college degree? How come he doesn't speak Hebrew like he learned at the local Jewish day school? That's a cause for frustration, but also an opportunity. Any aids that the Rosh Hashiva could give about dealing with such questions would be helpful.
I would tell them that they're learning the heritage of the Jewish people, and the other schools that learn Hebrew don't understand the basic ideas of Judaism. They don't know the laws of Judaism. They don't know how to act like a Jew. So we're sacrificing the knowledge of Hebrew for the knowledge of being a Jew. It's worth it. And tell them you yourself should take off a half a year or something and go and study about Judaism, because you don't know anything about Judaism either. Because if you would ask such a question, it means you don't know anything. So, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Rosh Hashiva, if a Jew feels a sense of relief that a particular candidate won a particular election, does that sense of relief kind of reflect a lack of bitachon?
No. No, it's relief because the other alternative is worse. but to think that an erratic person who has no values, no vision, is someone that's worthy of leading a country is very foolish. It's very foolish. It's very dangerous to have him there. But as I said, the other alternative is worse. But the but Baruch Hashem, we got rid of the alternative. And in the past, he has been friendly to Jewish people. Right? So we hope he'll continue that way, but you never can tell. It depends which way the wind will blow. Yeah, that's all. Baruch Hashem. So we still need to daven. It says that one of the reasons why Esther didn't tell anybody her name when she became the queen is that the Jews shouldn't say they have a sister in the palace and they won't daven. Right? In other words, you're supposed to keep on davening even when you have a sister in the palace. You don't rely. Hashem doesn't want us to rely on the sister in the palace. So even if he's our greatest friend, we still have to keep on davening that everything should work out well. He's not in control of the world. All kinds of situations could happen. And we hope, Bez Hashem, that we'll be zeichet to Yeshuas on all fronts. We need many Yeshuas. We call Yisrael, especially in Eretz Yisrael. It looks like things are getting a little better in Eretz Yisrael, but we're far way off. It's a very tragic situation. We always had hope of peace, but here we don't have anyone that wants peace. So it's very tragic. But Bez Hashem, we don't know the ways of Hashem. It could change overnight. Who would imagine, you remember the fall of the Russian Empire? Who would imagine that within a few weeks, all of a sudden, Russia would disintegrate? The Soviet Union would disintegrate. So everything could happen. Bez Hashem, we're looking forward to peace and to a change especially we're looking forward to Klal Yisrael doing tshuva, because that's the source of it all, is that Klal Yisrael has to do tshuva. If Klal Yisrael turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this whole thing will disappear. It's an einish to Klal Yisrael for having followed a false god. We follow false idols, and we fell into a trap. And Bez Hashem, when we stop following the false idol, we'll get out of the trap. Okay. Yeah.
The Rosh Hashiva, I imagine, does not welcome several magazines that come into a Jewish home for light reading for a family. But with all the ads that it brings along with it into the home, is there something that could be done logistically that we can do to have better, proper, easier reads for Mishpacha to read that will have the real Torah values at its core?
It is a very, very sad situation. I agree with you. The reason why it's that way is because people buy the magazine and the advertisers advertise there to spread their message. So the only way is to patronize another magazine that doesn't have these ads and doesn't have these values. And that's the only Eitzah I see. You have to make a protest against a magazine that has ads for, constant ads for the latest, for example, the latest fashion in Schreimlach. Imagine that? Know what a Schreimlach could cost? It cost $10,000, a Schreimlach. That's terrible. So the magazines are not run by anyone's ideology. They're run by a couple of women in Yerushalayim who want to satisfy the public and make sure there's nothing in there controversial, make sure that it satisfies as large a section as the population that reads it as possible. They have no ideology, they have no message to give, and they have nothing, they're not against anything, they just don't want to ruffle any feathers. That's what the magazine is for. So the only way is to somehow protest, write letters to the editor, or stop reading it and get something else instead. There's a nice magazine that just came out in Lakewood. It's called Chayenu. It's a nice magazine to bring into the house. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you, Rosh Yeshiva, for...
Yeah, you're very good. Now, how about some asking me something that I'm for, not just what I'm against?
Artificial intelligence.
What?
Is being used in many different areas. How does the Rosh Yeshiva feel about artificial intelligence with respect to studying Torah?
To study Torah, it'll never replace Torah.
Not as a replacement, that's for
replace
sure.
Torah. Replace maybe gathering the information it might replace. But you gather all the information you want, you still can't, you can't say Chedusha Torah. You have to have some original thought, which artificial intelligence can't give you. Maybe you could steal someone else's ideas, that yet. Artificial intelligence can steal out someone else's articles and say it's yours. But it's one of the inventions of man that, like the Frankenstein monster, it harms men, like the atom bomb. Well, it's another atom bomb. It destroys mankind. You won't be able to trust what you see, any picture that you see, because artificial intelligence can make up any picture you want. Right there, somebody did that. He showed a picture of the Pentagon on fire, and the stock market dropped. I guess he collected some money on that. It's a very dangerous weapon, but it's a very useful weapon also. But it can cause a disruption of so many things. First of all, there won't be any copyrights anymore. It's a national problem, but it's there. You're not going to stop it. It's an invention which is very, extremely useful, and it's here to stay. But it doesn't affect Torah learning. It will affect gathering of information, like Oitzer HaChochma, is much better than Oitzer HaChochma. It's not well perfected in Hebrew yet, but it could affect anyone who has to say a speech or give a drosha. You could collect from different droshes from different articles and present it as his own. It could be very, very... On every amoz can become a Talmud Chochem now. You don't know whether who's learned it, who's not learned it. You won't be able to tell the difference. Very dangerous. Okay? Yeah. So you didn't find the right thing yet. Okay.
Well, yeah, thank you, Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah?
Any more questions?
Okay.
Does Rosh Yeshiva want to tell us what he's for?
Do I what?
Does Rosh Yeshiva want to tell us what he's for?
Tell us what I'm for. I'm for learning to... Okay, I said what I'm for. I'm for Jewish culture. Right? I'm for Jewish culture. I'm against assimilation of Goyish values into the Jewish life. And we get that by learning Torah and by being devoted to Torah and by davening well and by by trying to keep mitzvahs. That's how we. That's how we're careful. That's how we remain a separate nation. Hey, normal voter, Yishkoy. We remain a separate nation. We have to be proud that we're different from goyim, not to be like goyim, but proud that we're different from goyim. We work with the goyim. We live with the goyim. We're not living in a ghetto anymore. But we have to be very proud that we're Jewish. We have to be proud to the extent you have to not be afraid of having a tzitzis out, not being afraid of wearing a yarmulke. Be proud that we're Jewish. That's all. That is the good side of the rights of an individual that are so celebrated, is that nowadays a Jew can be a frum Jew and be proud of it. He doesn't have to be ashamed because everyone has a right. There's diversity. I can be different. I can be Jewish. I can be religious. I can be what I want. So we should have to use that good part of the culture to express our Jewishness. So, okay, Rabbi Issa, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Kol tov, atzlocha u'bracha.
Thank you.